Our second scripture lesson today comes from the letter to the Hebrews. The very beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1 and the first four verses. Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. Hear the word of God. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom God also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You won't be surprised to know that I have a lot of conversations about Jesus. This week, as I sat with these first few verses of the letter to the Hebrews, I found myself thinking about all those conversations. Not the kind of conversations that happened at cocktail parties or on the soccer pitch sideline or on an airplane when someone finds out what I did for a living. And not the conversations in classrooms or on campus or at a presbytery meeting where a candidate is being examined for ordination to the ministry of word and sacrament. No, this week, as I've been pondering the letter to the Hebrews, pondering he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, I've been recalling the really important, deeply felt, intellectually challenging, honestly searching, life-giving and life-forming, one-on-one, foundational kind of conversations I have again and again and again about Jesus. Conversations I have with you about belief, about resurrection, about miracles, about divinity, about the heavenly Christ, about Trinity, about Jesus and a multi-faith world, about a relationship with Jesus lost, a relationship found. Over the years, those conversations about Jesus have led me to believe that the church has done a disservice to you. Not Nassau Church in particular, but the church tradition. Because over and over again in those conversations, I speak with folks who've been led to believe that they're the only ones who have any doubts about Jesus, or who wrestle with questions, or who aren't sure they believe one thing or another, including some really big things deemed so important by the theological tradition. No one in our congregation, nor anyone who joins us along the way, should think that they are all alone when it comes to daring to wonder about this Jesus. Truth is, the followers of Jesus have been trying to understand Jesus since the day the Lord put Peter and the disciples on the spot. Who do you say that I am? Since the time John penned the prologue to his gospel and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And since the preacher in the letter to the Hebrews stood up and began to speak, Lord, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom God also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. If you think you don't have any questions when it comes to understanding the identity of Jesus, sometime today or tonight or this week, sit down and read the letter to Hebrews. From beginning to end, there's some complicated stuff about Jesus here. In every century, in every generation, from the greatest theological minds to the faithful disciples slugging it out in a pew somewhere every Sunday, the most faithful souls, not just the one labeled as skeptics, not just the ones history calls heretics, but a great cloud of witnesses, those who know themselves to be the followers of Jesus, they try to figure it out, and they've been willing to ask, and they've learned to lean in when it comes to wrestling with this Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord. And my hunch is that's because life happens. The questions keep coming, The doubts are real, and the conversations about Jesus multiply because amid our ivory tower, church pew, theological library kind of search for answers, life happens. Later here in Hebrews, the preacher said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. We surely are not. Life surely is not. The last 19 months or so have made that abundantly clear. Life never just stays the same. Questions about Jesus keep coming because life keeps coming. Children grow, parents die, joy abounds, tragedy strikes, love sparks, relationships fail, walls go down, walls go up, the world shrinks. Interfaith dialogue is no longer a world council, it's a third grade class. Wars never cease, disease and virus rage, the markets rise, the markets fall. What was once the next generation now rock their grandchildren to sleep. And through it all, you and I, we keep talking about Jesus. Not because we can't come up with answers, but because every Sunday's affirmation of faith is different. I'm not talking about words or the reference or a reference or even what we say together in unison on Sunday morning. Every Sunday's affirmation is a living, breathing witness to our faith. Every Sunday, from the pastoral realities of congregational life to the incredibly complex web of conversation that defines our life as a community, we stand with John and his gospel. We stand with the preacher in the letter of the Hebrews. We stand with the disciples. We stand with the great cloud of witnesses, and we point to Jesus, the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. The imprint of glory. If I had been keeping score over the years when it comes to conversations and questions about Jesus, the score would indicate that most of the questions, the doubts, the noodling is about the divinity of Jesus, the fully divine Son of God, Word became flesh, firstborn of all creation kind of thing. But this exact imprint of God's very being, this Jesus we talk about and point to, he is the one who touched the unclean and knelt to embrace the sinner and chose to dine with the least religious one he could find. The exact imprint of God's being dared to speak to a woman at the well that everyone else knew he was supposed to hate. He found himself duly challenged, even chastised by a mother who demanded table crumbs for the well-being of her daughter. He allowed a tax collector to treat him as a guest and a woman to anoint his feet. The exact imprint of God's being touched the long-suffering, wiped tears from a woman about to be stoned, and challenged every authority that threatened the community's understanding of justice and compassion and mercy. He turned matters of the law into matters of the heart, placed the care of an individual above celebrating the Sabbath, and defined servant leadership long before the Harvard Business Review. The exact imprint of God's being exhibited a divine nonviolence that ought to have forever changed the triumphalism and conquering way of the Christian tradition. He challenged understandings of money and power and piety far more than anything to do with human sexuality or with what some call family values. This Jesus, who is the reflection of God's glory, he shed his own tears in grief and shed more tears at the utter despair and disgrace of the sinfulness of humankind when he wept over Jerusalem. He left little doubt as to his concern for the poor and his embrace of the outcast and his exhortation to care for those in prison. This Jesus shed tears and showed anger and sweat blood and found himself abandoned there on the cross, suffering with broken bones and a broken heart. Yes, the imprint of God's glory. I don't know about you, but in this season of life's journey, it feels like a time to be less worried about the divinity of Jesus and more captivated and drawn to his humanity. In just a few minutes, as I offer a prayer at the table in our celebration of the Lord's Supper, you will hear these words. Jesus healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. He opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. This meal is so much a taste of his humanity. And his humanity was the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. We might never completely be able to wrap our heads around the divinity of Jesus. Indeed, there will always be doubts and questions because life happens. But as for tears, anger, and suffering, compassion, and a broken heart, is there anyone among us who doesn't understand that? Congregation is invited to join on the last hymn with the choir, the last verse of this sermon hymn.